52. Mike summoned the ants. For his whole life he'd kept them locked away, letting them out in streams and clusters. He needed all of them now. He needed to stop being Mycroft and become Sherlock. The ants carried out swarms of images and sounds and raw facts for him. The scale model of the main floor grew, spun, zoomed in again and again to show him different details. Other ants carried out the U.S. Marshals scene again, even though it wasn't entirely relevant. He looked at similar movements and images from movies and real life. He was pretty sure he had what he needed.
"Same plan as before,"
he whispered to Jamie.
"What?"
"You're not an alpha predator," Mike said to the patchwork man. The tall creature turned from the Albuquerque door and blinked twice.
"I'm sorry,"
it said. Again, Mike was struck by the prissy aspect of the expression. Whoever the patchwork man had been before, he'd probably been very high maintenance.
"Pardon me."
Mike tried to stretch himself a little taller. He gestured at the bug man over by the workstation.
"You're not an alpha predator like them," he repeated. "So what are you?"
The patchwork man's human eye shifted. The hairless brow furrowed, the shredded lips moved, forming silent, unreadable words. It made Mike think of a fish. And then the creature let out a few wet sounds. For a moment he thought it was choking. He saw the same hope in Jamie's eyes. Then its chuckle became a full laugh.
"The Seraphs are not alpha predators,"
it lisped. Its stitched-together chest puffed out.
"They are the jackals, waiting the return of the lion. The dust before the endless sandstorm. They are the tide going out before the wave comes in."
It recited the words with halts and accents. High maintenance and more than a bit smug, Mike thought. The cadence reminded him of overzealous people reading from the Bible, even though he didn't recognize any of the passages.
"So what's that make you?"
The slender creature uncoiled a long finger and touched the tip to its shredded lips.
"I was a man,"
it said after a moment.
"A family man who thought he understood the lessons of his congregation. Now I am like Enoch, ascended to become the voice of my Lord, and remade in the divine image with the flesh of Charles and Lucas and Howard and Timothy."
The finger moved down the opposite arm, touching each section between the stitches. The ants searched for a reference to the names, listed them in different orders, and found nothing. Mike nodded and counted to 6. He didn't break eye contact with the creature. "One more question."
"Of course,"
said the creature.
"Please make the most of your time as my lord draws near."
He stared at its human eye.
"Do you know what proprioception is?"
The patchwork man blinked at him. So did Jamie and Sasha.
"It's one of the few neurological terms I know," Mike admitted after a moment. "One of those extra senses you don't hear about often. It's how you know where your body parts are, even when you can't see them. Like how you can reach into your back pocket without looking."
The creature loomed over him and he retreated from it with a trio of nervous steps, but he didn't break eye contact. He could see Jamie tensing in the corner of his vision.
"In my case," he continued, still staring at the creature's eyes, "it's useful because I can remember where everything else is, too. So I can leave the lights off a lot of the time. I don't need to look at things around me to pick them up.
And I can aim that way, too." He reached back without looking, grabbed Black's pistol off the workstation, and fired at the target behind him. Things slowed down as Mike took in every detail he could.
The recoil wrenched his wrist around, but the ants showed him diagrams and angles, and he aimed again. The patchwork man broke the stare after the first shot. It roared. Spittle rained on Mike's face as he fired a second shot. He heard one of the bugmen, the Seraphs, hiss behind him, the one by the nitrogen tanks. Jamie flinched away from the gunshots and lunged forward. Sasha was a few steps behind her. The tall creature shoved Mike aside on his third shot. It loped past him. The lone bugman on the pathway had one of its arms up, the arm with the spear. It was already pulled back. Its eyes went between Mike and Jamie, picking a target. Mike heard a louder hiss behind him. A cold breeze hit his back. He braced himself and took a step away from the tanks. He swung the pistol around to aim at the Seraph on the pathway. The other Seraph by the far workstation, the one with the wounded arm, growled at him. It reached for the spear that had impaled San, but its movements were slow. Jamie's foot hit the ramp. Mike took another step and squeezed the trigger two more times. His first shot punched through the cloak to hit the Seraph in the thigh. The second round went straight through the rough leather and vanished through the rings as the Seraph hurled its spear. The nitrogen tanks exploded. There was no heat, just a blast of freezing air. It slammed him into the far workstation and saved his life. The spear that was aimed at his chest wobbled and caught him in the side under his arm. The force and speed of the glancing blow shattered bone. His ribs blazed with heat and pain. The shaft sliced through cloth, flesh, and muscle. A chunk of metal hit him hard in the back, and a second one slashed his calf. Another second passed. His ribs felt like broken glass grinding under his skin. He could picture needles of bone breaking off as they rubbed against each other. He was wet with blood. The arm holding the pistol shook. He had no idea how he'd managed to hold on to the gun. A chill ran through his body like stepping into a cold pool. It could have been the cold air or blood loss, he wasn't sure which. Jamie was sprawled on the ramp. Mike couldn't see any blood. He counted off another second and saw her take a breath. He didn't see Sasha anywhere and figured she'd been knocked down on the other side of the ramp. The Seraph on the pathway pushed itself up onto all fours. A gash in its side leaked dark blood onto the pathway. Its large eye was a wet socket. The two small ones glared at him, then down at Jamie. Its mouth opened to display the forest of narrow fangs. His arm came up with the pistol and fired twice. The explosion still rang in his ears, so the gunshots were muffled and flat. They both hit it in the torso, but nowhere near center. The creature let out another clicking growl and crouched lower. It reminded him of a dog getting ready to charge. Then one of its arms collapsed under it and it slumped on the pathway. The cloak settled around it and grew still. At least two Seraphs dead, maybe three. Mike shifted his weight against the workstation and tried to balance. His knees were loose. It was as if they'd become ball and socket joints, and his body still needed time to figure out how they worked. His hips felt loose, too. His side was very wet, although it didn't hurt quite as much, and he was pretty sure he was going into shock. His vision dimmed. The thought flitted through his mind that he was losing consciousness. Then he realized it was a shadow. The patchwork man loomed over him and snarled something. Mike couldn't hear what, and it was impossible to read the shredded lips. The curved, Kindle-sized chunk of metal, stuck in its shoulder, had part of a green warning label on it. Six of the stitches along the shoulder were broken. Three fingers had vanished from its extra hand, and the whole limb sparkled with frost. It reached out and grabbed his arm, the long fingers wrapped around his bicep twice. He could feel the knots on the stitches through his sleeve. The patchwork man yanked up, and the fire in Mike's side exploded. Shards of pain tumbled through his body. His fingers spasmed. The pistol dropped to the floor. In the corner of his eye, Jamie lunged over the dead Seraph on the pathway and grabbed the timer. She fiddled with the controls for a moment and squeezed it again and again. Mike's stomach twisted. She squeezed the remote again, and something clicked. A light on the half-hidden charge flashed on. The patchwork man snarled again and let Mike drop. His side exploded with pain. The cut on his leg flared. The bandages on his wounded stomach felt hot and wet. He slumped against the workstation but forced himself to stay on his feet. The tall creature stalked away toward the rings. One of the surviving Seraphs crawled into view on the other side of the workstation. The hood of its cloak was shredded and a piece of metal stuck out from the side of its skull. Dark blood ran across its face. The patchwork man growled and clicked at it, and it moved to follow him. Jamie saw them coming. She tucked the remote under her arm and scooped up Dylan's rifle. She struggled with it for a moment. The Seraph raised its claws and snarled. Its feet clanged on the ramp. The patchwork man took another stride toward her. Jamie looked at them, then at Mike.
Then she turned and ran through the door.